and next week I get a hip replacement, so I was glad to be able to make it here, even though you may see me kind of hobbling around a bit and walking with my cane. My cane mainly is there for fall prevention. They're telling me, don't fall this week. And I keep saying, don't jinx me. But yeah, I'm very thankful that we live in a part of the world where these things can be taken care of. And I know that our healthcare system isn't perfect, but I'll take this one over Zambia's healthcare system any day. Let's protect it. Just want to share a little bit about where we started. We can go to the first slide. Yeah. You know, I was saying to some friends last night and someone this morning, you know, like when we first came to Highway Church, and I think it was 2000, 2001, something like that, I never imagined that in 2026 we'd still be coming back and boring you with our stories. But, you know, we started in 1999 with 43 kids. And you can see in this next slide, you know, where we've come. We're at 7,200 children, 10 centers, 5 countries. You know, we sang about putting our failures and our addictions at the cross. You know, I also believe that we're to put our successes there. I always prayed as we saw success and growth. That I would remain humble in that. Not become arrogant, self-righteous, pompous. And by leaving it at the cross and giving God the credit and the glory for this, helped me tremendously. Not to say working with kids can be very humbling. I love being around VOH kids, even some of the older ones who are adults now, you know, because they're blunt. They'll call you out on stuff. And they'll be honest with you. But I am so thankful for the people that God has surrounded Nancy and I with to make this happen. It's just not Nancy and I that have done this. And it's the people, it's God, it's the Spirit, and it's all these kids that have just, I mean, that's 7,200 kids today. We've probably impacted close to 10,000 lives. We, VOH, not me. You know, and that's mind-boggling to me when you think of those 43 kids we started out with. And I think our first budget when we arrived in April of 1999 was $1,200. Handed that money and told to dream big. Oh, okay. I think I can do that. I don't know. What does that even mean, right? But we just, one step at a time, one life at a time, one dream at a time, one failure after another failure after another failure at a time. Lots of failures in success. here we are. I remember a couple of years ago, if we can go to the next slide, I was, you know, starting to think about, you know, the future, retirement, and body parts that need replacing, these things. I still can't get my head around that one, but that's okay. Feeling a sense of, you know, we've kind of been doing this a while, and it's been plateaued, and, you know, a lot of exciting things happening at our centers, but it'd been a while since we've had something new. And I said, before my time is up, I really want one new center in a location where we're not working right now, with in an area where there's genuine need, new partners, something brand new. And I had no idea what that was. I just had that, like, I just want one more. Within 2-3 months of verbalizing that, these people from Bulla Wales, Zimbabwe, someone I've known for a long time, pastor, has built a ministry in Bulla Wales over the years, reached out and said, we need a VOH here. I said, you gotta be kidding me. Oh, not just here, we need two of them. So we went and scouted out and met them, and we've entered into a partnership agreement, and this year we're starting two centers, one in Bulla Wales, one in Shilocho, which is a rural area. And in the midst of that, the family reached out to us from Kisi, Kenya, that we need a VOH here. Lord, I just wanted one. Didn't you hear me? I just wanted one new thing, not three. You know, I'm not sure where the Kisi one's gonna go, but I mean, it's just like God saying, like, okay, let's keep going, you know. And so yeah, so there's Dixon down here with the hat, amazing guy. Like after meeting them and them showing us all that they were doing over there, and that, I said, you know, you don't need us. I said, we need you more than you need us. He says, no, we need you. We need this model. We need this approach. So that's Dixon, his wife Chipo. There's Nancy right behind Chipo. On the far right here is Dwayne Hutchings. He's our new director of programs. I thank God for Dwayne. I couldn't be doing this without someone at my right hand. And Nancy, well, yeah. You guys know Nancy. I don't have to tell you about her. And right in the middle is Sam. Sam Dilodlo. Sam Dilodlo, we met in 1996 in Zimbabwe on our first trip. And then he came to Canada and studied to be a pilot. Was here for a couple of years. He'd hang out at our house on the weekends and got, you know, really know him well. Then he went back to Zimbabwe. And then, being a Zimbabwean, he got him, you know, he knew Dixon and Chipo, and he's been working with them. And I said to Dixon, I said, okay, we're happy to come, but we need someone on the ground that's really gonna, like, oh yeah, we got Sam. I said, Sam, yeah, Sam Dilodlo. I said, you kidding me? We've known Sam for almost 30 years, right? And how God's brought all this together. We're really excited. And not only is it a new location, how much time do I have? Okay. We're actually starting a new initiative. So we met in the rural area in Shilocho. We met with a group of ladies. Most of them are grandmothers, single mothers. Each one probably responsible for 5-6 kids in home. And these go-go's, as they're known there, you know, I said, well, what's your need? We want to meet needs. We don't want to come just do what we think you need. They said, you know, we're old. I said, I know what that feels like. We're tired, and we've got these kids, and many of them are teenagers, and we can't keep up. And we just need help. We need support, right? So sitting under this beautiful African tree with women and community leaders and this group here, you know. The vision came to me of a what we call a go-go center. Not where you do go-go dancing. A place for these women to gather. A place where they can network with each other. A place where they can just, and a place that has childcare facility and daycare so that the kids are being looked after while they knit and crochet and share their woes with each other and support each other. And the church comes in and does Bible studies with them. Just a place that's for them. And that's how we're going to start the first VOH in Chilocho. Completely different from anything else we've ever done, but it's a need there. And everybody is so excited about this concept. Because by elevating and supporting and undergirding these women, the children can stay with them. We don't have to take them out of those homes and put them into a facility or an institution or an orphanage, whatever you want to call these things. They get to stay with their loved ones, their caregivers. And so we see that as a way of caring for vulnerable children is by coming in and supporting these women. So we're really excited about that and really looking forward to it. Go to the next slide. Oh, okay, let's, next one after that. We can talk about sponsorship at the end. I want you to do this. I've done this in one meeting, but not a church setting, but I want to do this. I want everybody to close their eyes. Just bear with me. Just close your eyes. And I want you to hear these words. And then I want you to pay attention to what you see in your mind's eye when you hear these words. Every child is loved and cared for. Every child is loved and cared for. Take note of what you see. You can open your eyes. Keep that visual in your head as I talk. Every child is loved and cared for. I remember one day, I have a principle I live by. I don't ask other people to do things I'm not willing to do myself. So I remember one day I was doing this. And what was so clear in my head was our Canadian Parliament was in session. And I pictured our Prime Minister and I pictured the opposition leaders and all that goes on in there, and you know, the throne guy, the Speaker of the House is there, and these kids are in there. One is sitting on Prime Minister Carney's shoulders, messing his hair. The other kid is sitting on Bolivia's lap to clean him, making that smile and laugh, right? They were. A couple kids were jumping around on the Speaker of the House on the throne, and they were playing with those golden things, that scepters, whatever, that sit there in the middle, and the sergeant in arms is all freaking out because these kids are messing all these things up. And my thought was, I wonder what kind of laws would be passed if kids were in Parliament, if kids were in legislature down the road here, if kids were in the chambers of the municipalities where the mayor and the councilmen meet. I remember when we built our first playground in Kitwe, I put it right outside the administration building, and the administrators and staff were a bit upset about that because of the noise. I said, no. When you hear the noise of that playground, it reminds you why you're working inside here. And we would have meetings, and we had a boardroom. We'd open the windows, and let that sound come in. What kind of world we'd live in today if we had more of that going on? Isaiah said, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities. The devastations of many generations will be repaired. In the ancient times, when enemies attacked cities, they destroyed their walls, making them vulnerable. They knocked down their important places, like their temples, their places of worship. And Jerusalem, over the centuries, was attacked and devastated on a number of occasions, left to ruins by many different enemies over and over again. If any of you have visited Israel, you've seen a lot of those ruins kind of left behind. And when this hit, it left God's people, the Israelites, destitute. It left them poor. Many of them were imprisoned, taken into exile. And they felt separated from their God. They felt abandoned by their God at times. And then the rebuilding of the city wall and the temple, as we read in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, was a sign of hope. It gave them a sense of a new future's coming. Things are going to be restored, even though it was simple and wasn't being rebuilt to the same glory that it was. It still gave them hope. Go to the next slide. As I thought about this verse, it was impressed upon me that this historical event of rebuilding can also be seen as a metaphor of God's desire to see the devastation in humans restored. See, God is more concerned about the human condition than he is about bricks and mortar or big giant stones, as you saw in that picture. And I've realized that over the past 27 years, that as Village of Hope, we've been building up and restoring lives that have been left in ruins. Many of the children we work with, if not most, have been left destitute by the impact of poverty. Many of them have been abused sexually, emotionally, and physically. Many times by the very people that are supposed to be caring for them. Many of the children have been neglected by their parents, their families, and by the very governments that are in control of these countries. And all this has left these lives in ruin. I call them the weapons of mass destruction. Physical, emotional, abuse, neglect, criticism. When you criticize a child, you're giving them a smack. Judgment. We work with a group in Tanzania called Under the Same Sun. It's a Canadian organization that we partner, and we care for almost 250 children with albinism. And what these kids have gone through. Many of them have had limbs amputated, cut off, sold, because they see these kids as not human, as spiritual, and their values, the value of their body parts for the witch doctors, like dangerous stuff. We come in and bit by bit, piece by piece, restoring, rebuilding, taking this devastation. And turning it into something beautiful, bringing new hope, new future. And it doesn't take much. Love, safety, caring, compassion. Those are the weapons we use. Those are the tools that we use to rebuild and restore these lives that have been left ruined. Somehow or other, I don't know, I just wish that all politicians around the world can get that visual. I won't get political, I promise. I'll get angry, but I won't get political. And the children that come to our centers, they know that these centers exist for them. They know that they're safe. We have a very strong and robust child safeguarding policy. In fact, our centers now will say, well, it's not a policy anymore. It's business as usual. We're here to protect kids, to keep them safe. And we're starting to see that now go beyond our walls. We're having impact in communities with our messaging of child safeguarding. They come to a place that is filled with love and care, compassion, and fun. When I close my eyes and I hear those words, you know, every child is loved and cared for, I just picture kids having fun. Like, wouldn't that be fun? Like a bunch of kids in Parliament, eh? Going around with all these stiff, pompous, self-righteous politicians, and they're messing their hair up, you know, and tickling them, right? And I've been blessed. People say, how old are you? I said, well, years 66, maturity 6. And Nancy will tell you that. She said, he's just a big kid. He hasn't grown up yet. And so I understand, like, I really do. I understand the world of the child. I still buy toys for my, like, my daughter, you know, when it's my birthday, she'll buy me toys. And I have toys. Or my grandson comes over, right? And he says, oh, no, no, can I play with your blocks? And we have to set boundaries, you know, what are his toys and what are my toys? Like, okay, well, those you can play with those Hot Wheels, but those ones are mine over here. Don't lose them. Don't break them. We look after their physical well-being. We make sure they get the nutrition that they so need. When I pray the Lord's Prayer now, and I pray it every day, I've changed, give us today our daily bread. Because I think that's a concept. I pray, Lord, give us all the air we need, the water we need, and the nutrition we need, and the social interaction we need. We all need that to thrive and to survive. And so we make sure that these things are provided, right? Water is essential. And so we have wells at our centers that provide clean water, not only for the kids, but their families. They take water, fresh drinking water, home to their families. And when their bodies are broken, we provide health care. We get them to clinics, and we have people that oversee, you know, the making sure that they take the medication they need, or if they have need of follow-up visits to the doctor. Because the old granny who's looking after 6 or 7 of them, she doesn't have the capacity to do that. She doesn't have a car. Like they have to walk everywhere, you know, and so we make sure that we do these follow-ups with the kids. We provide opportunities for creativity so that they can express themselves. A lot of our centers have art rooms, music rooms. We use the creative arts, especially in been doing a lot of studying and work in the area of how to use these to deal with trauma. I'm learning to we're going to start drum circles. Brand new. This is a new thing, you know. Nancy just shakes her like, what are you doing? I found this course online by an African who's teaching Africans how to teach kids, not how to drum, but teach kids how to get joy out of drumming. Who is drumming? Yeah. There's joy in, isn't it? I got no rhythm, so it's a little harder for me, right? But as I've been learning this, like if I have a stressed day, I sit down with my little portable drum thing and I just start feeling better. And so we're going to bring this. We use art and colors for the kids to express themselves and to release some of the tension that's in them. These are hard, hard places these kids come from. Our center in Malawi is located in a very challenging neighborhood. A lot of our kids have witnessed their families murdered. They've seen their mothers raped. They've seen their daughters or their sisters raped. They've seen their friends killed. They've seen them die of diseases. These are hard, hard lives that they live. And so we want to introduce, and even our discipleship programs. These kids, the last thing they need is more curriculum. They need a relationship with God. They need to feel God. They need to experience God's love. And they need to pour that love back to God. And they need people to walk alongside them in this journey. And we've gotten, especially over there, we've gotten so hardline Christianity and its rules, its regulations, its fear-based, and we're breaking that at our centers, and that really excites me. And we're coming back to the art of storytelling, right? That's what the Bible, and that's how the Bible, it was stories, and they sat in circles, and the elders would tell the stories, right? And I love telling stories to kids. And sometimes I just sit down and I make up the story right then, right there. And we come up with meanings to that story and we explore it. And I was just at a workshop down in southern Alabama. I mean, these guys were wondering, why is this Canadian coming down here to southern Alabama to do a workshop on godly play? I said, because I want to become a better storyteller and you guys are good storytellers. And they've developed this amazing approach to sitting before kids and using little props and techniques to tell stories, the Bible, biblical stories. And what I loved the most about it was, at the end of the story, the conversation with the kids is, I wonder. Not, I'm here to tell you, but I wonder. If you were with Jesus that day, what would you say to him? I wonder what Jesus would say to you. I wonder if that goat had a name. And all of a sudden, these kids are in the story. And their imagination is engaged. And so we're doing more and more of that, right? To really help these kids have this relationship with God. But that the Bible, the biblical story, is a story about them. And I love it. We have clubs at our, and so a lot of the centers have drama clubs. And the kids will read a parable, you know, and then they'll act it out, you know? And they put their flavor to it, their comedy to it, and it's funny, it's hilarious, like it's really fun to watch. But they're putting themselves in the story. They are, one of them is the lost sheep, right? One of them is the prodigal son, you know, and one of them is the father, you know, and they're experiencing God's word by play acting this out, you know. And we've just seen their confidence grow, but the confidence that, you know, God really loves me. And they get this real sense that they know God and that God knows them by name. Those sort of things are rebuilding, putting the blocks back in the right places. We can go to the next slide. Let's see. Yeah. So I want to give you just some examples where we've had success and restoration. So this is Zacho and his brother Thomas. 7 and 5 when these pictures were taken. Single mother, blind, completely blind, having to raise 3 kids on her own, no husband. So BOH Bulali heard their story, enrolled the 2 kids into our school so the mother doesn't have to worry about their education, healthcare. And because VOH has been helping with these 2 kids, the older brother is able to go to the government school. And we're able to support the mother. We see we brought some mattresses into the homes because they were all just sleeping on the hard floor. And it's transformed. In a simple way. Like it's not like they were here and we brought them here. Like, they were here, they're probably here, you know. But the love and the care and the joy that she's experiencing and her kids are experiencing is giving them a whole different vision for the future. This blind mother has been able to see love, see caring, see compassion. Go to the next slide. Couple of kids from Kitwe where we started. Both these kids, Weeza and John, came from very vulnerable families. They ended up hanging out on the streets in Kitwe. They sniff stuff that they get and get high. So these 2 kids were out of school, hanging out in the streets. Somebody intervened and brought them to VOH. We enrolled them in school, and their experience of being at the VOH center has transformed them completely. You wouldn't look at these 2 kids and think that they were drug addicts from the streets. And both of them very focused now on their education. Life filled with hope, not despair. What drove them to the streets was despair. What's driving them into the future now is hope. In Mongu, in the next slide, you can see Sarah. Her parents couldn't afford to send her to school. She eventually stopped going to school. She got pregnant at the age of 15, gave birth to a child with physical challenges. VOH Mongu has a ministry there to help single mothers. So she came into that program. And they helped her to learn how to care for this child with physical challenges. We have an occupational therapist there that works with caregivers. Keeping mother and daughter together. And then Sarah's sister eventually was enrolled at the VOH school. And again, so another story of transformation. You know. You wouldn't look at this picture and think that. In Zimbabwe, this young girl, Tanaka, next slide. Came through our school there in Harare. Had very many challenges. You know, a lot of these kids really struggle academically in school because of the things they've been through. But she persevered. She persevered, and the environment was very conducive to her ability to learn. And so now she graduated from high school. Was accepted into university, and she's been able to help a lot of other kids through her experience. And so that holistic approach of caring for the whole child leads to these kids overcoming the barriers and the challenges that they face. The next slide is one of my favorite programs that we do at VOH. In fact, this one is in Tanzania, and this one is this is the only center that is only dedicated to early childhood development. Though all our centers have preschool and earlier programs of intervention, this one is primarily focused on ages like 4 and 5, helping these kids get ready for school. Because I believe that the sooner we start in the rebuilding process, the more chance there is of success. And you see these kids that, you know, if it wasn't for VOH Tanzania, would end up in grade 1, never having held a pencil, not knowing how to write their names, alphabet and counting. When these kids land in grade 1, they're way ahead of everyone else. In the area of education, we're piloting a new program this year called School in a Box. Through our partners in Bulawayo and Zimbabwe, we found this group in South Africa that build these metal boxes, and they're filled with tablets, and they have the whole school curriculum on these tablets, and they're all self-guided. So these kids come in. You don't need a professional teacher. You can use a facilitator, and the tablets will train the facilitator. But the kids log in. They know how to log in. They have their password, and it's all self-guided learning in math, English, history, geography, the sciences. And there's quizzes, and it's monitoring, it tracks their progress, it's all individualized. So a lot of these kids from the vulnerable families that can't afford to hire tutors to help their kids who are going to government schools and just getting a low-grade education, are going to be coming to our centers and doing School in a Box and helping them do better in school. But that doing better in school builds up confidence and gives them a hope. And these tablets are filled with hundreds of books, so we don't even have to build libraries anymore. They just log in and pick the book they want to read, and we started reading clubs, so the kids are getting together and encouraging each other to read. And to help each other, they sit, you know, when they're doing their tablets, they're sitting around the table, they're not sitting in rows, and They're helping each other. If one gets stuck, they help each other. It's not competitive. And so we're in August, we had our leadership meeting that we have every 2 years. We brought about 30 leaders from our different centers together. And we coined it, you know, VOH 2.0. And VOH 2.0 looks very much like VOH 1.0. Still doing all the same things, but we're adding more and more of these initiatives because we want to expand our reach and we want to deepen our impact. We're not satisfied where we're at today. And programs like School in the Box and our drumming circles and our art centers and our sacred prayer rooms and our storytelling programs are all going to take kids to another level, holistically, but most importantly, with their walk with God. And none of this could be possible without partners like you guys. If it wasn't for churches and individuals and business people that have supported VOH all these years, we couldn't be doing this. And so we are so thankful. I don't take you for granted. I don't take the many people who sponsor kids. If you're interested in more information, you can hunt me down. I've got brochures here. I've got cards here if you want to sponsor a child. I know many of you already do. But we don't take that for granted. We appreciate each and every one of you and your prayer support. God's call to the Israelites thousands of years ago continues to apply to our modern day and age. We are all called to bring good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. I love that one. I like closing my eyes and picturing that one. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, to build up those who are in ruins, to raise those who experience devastation, to repair ruined lives, to all generations. Isn't that a wonderful promise of hope? And that's what God is calling us to do. He's not just calling Nancy and I to do this. He's calling you to do this. And I'm sure there is plenty of devastation surrounding your church, your communities. There are so many things that you can do. A kind word, a smile, an acknowledgement of somebody's existence. All these things are things that we should be doing as God's people up there and to bring hope and a new future and to take advantage of these tools that God has given us to work with. Love, compassion, mercy, grace. And we need to fill our belts with them and draw them out as often as we can, and to put away those things that destroy people's lives and stay focused like you are. I was hearing like what you're talking about with these the students during March break. You know, that's a building up effort. saying to young people, we care, right? And a lot of people, young people today, they need to hear that, right? And a lot of young people have lost hope and faith in religious institutions. But we can rebuild that with a little bit of love, a little bit of care, and a big giant smile. Thank you, everyone.